Okay, good morning, everybody. Today's daf is Menachos Daf Tzadi Dalid. We are holding on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. We are at the Mishnah on the bottom of the page with Tzadi Gimel Amud Beis. Today, Be'ez Hashem, we're going to finish the 10th Perek and begin the 11th Perek and therefore return to regular Rashi rather than double Rashi and Rashi Ksavyad. So that happens in the 11th Perek, Be'ez Hashem. Today's shiur is sponsored by Dr. David Lander in honor of his wife and children, Lila Nishma's mother, Golda Basimcha, Aleha Shalom, the Nisham. It's also sponsored by Eliza and Aaron Herzen family in memory of Eliza's father, Judge Noach Deer, Zichrono Livracha, Noach Ben Meshulam Shraga, whose sixth yard site was this past Sunday. It is also sponsored by my aunt and uncle, Jack and Jeanette Blumenkopf, on the occasion of the sixth yard site of Zadie Sender, my wife's grandfather, Sender Ben Yaakov. It is also sponsored by my in-laws, Dr. and Mrs. Gewurz, in honor of my wife's grandfather's yard site, and they express that they are very happy to have my grandson Sender Yechiel in our family. It is also sponsored by the Shulman family in honor of the yard site of Mrs. Robin Shulman, Sima Rosa Chaya Bas Aaron Ruvain, the Neshama Shlevin Aliyah, and we thank all of the sponsors very much for the sponsorship. So what we're going to talk about today is the following. First, to finish off the 10th Parak, the Mishnah is going to talk about the differences halachically, three halachic differences between the din of tenufa and the din of smicha, and how they're done differently. The Gemara is going to discuss specifically why all of the shutfin in a karban need to do smicha, but not so by tenufa. By tenufa, one person can do the tenufa on behalf of everybody. You don't need the participation of everybody. So we're going to try to figure out how we know that from the psukim. Then the new parak. The 11th parak is going to start with a discussion of the kneading and the baking process of both the shtei lechem of Shavuos as well as the lechem apanim that they would have every single week. The Gemara is going to discuss how we know that it's true that the shtei lechem are kneaded one at a time and baked one at a time, whereas the lechem apanim are kneaded one at a time but are baked two at a time. The Gemara is then going to talk about the molds that were used to shape the lechem apanim. And we're going to have a brisa that tells us how many different molds that they had in order to shape the lechem apanim. Shape the lechem apanim? What shape did the lechem apanim have? So that's a machlokas in the Gemara. Two opinions. What shape there was of the lechem apanim? Probably in all the picture books you have one picture in mind of what the lechem apanim, but there's a second opinion that's drastically different. And the Gemara is going to have three questions on the opinion that it was shaped like a fast boat, which is not the opinion that is typically drawn, pictures of, and we're going to have a couple of questions on the opinion that it was shaped like an open box, which is the way they normally draw the lechem apanim, and so that conversation goes into tomorrow's daf about the different opinions of the shape of the lechem apanim. So let's begin again. We're at the Mishnah on Daf Tzadi Gimel Amud Bey. So says the Mishnah, Chomer b'smicha mi'batenufa. There's a chomer in the mitzvah of smicha in that you don't do with the mitzvah of tenufa, but tenufa mi besmicha, and there are also chumras that the mitzvah of tenufa has that don't apply to smicha. So what chumra does smicha have over tenufa? She'echad meinif l'kol ha'chaverim ve'en echad somich l'kol ha'chaverim. If let's say there are many shutfim in a karban, one person can do tenufa on behalf of all of them, but by smicha that's not so. You can't have one person do smicha on behalf of everybody. Chumra b'tenufa, the chumra that you have by tenufa over smicha is she'atenufa noheges b'karban Hayachid uber Karbanos Hatzibur. Tenufa is noeg both by Karbanos Yachid and by Karbanos Tzibur, b'chayim u'b'shchutin, both when they are alive and when they are shechted. Meaning tenufa is noeg with live Karbanos, both a Karban Yachid like an Asha Mitzora and a Karban Tzibur like the Kivsei Atzeres that require tenufa when they are alive together with the Shtei Alechem. And we also find that tenufa applies to dead Karbanos, to shechted Karbanos, both by Karbanos Yachid like a carbon shlamim, where the emurim and the chaz of ishok require tenufa, as well as by carbonus tzibur, like the kivsei atzeres, where the chaz of ishok also require tenufa. So as opposed to smicha, where even though it's noeg by carbonus yachid and by carbonus tzibur, but it's only b'chayim, it's never done on shchutim. So this is not two differences, this is one difference. Meaning when we say tenufa noheg is b'carbonus yachid or b'carbonus tzibur, b'chayim u'b'shchutim, those aren't two differences between tenufa and and smicha. Those are one difference between tinuf and smicha. They both are noheg with bekarbonos yachid, bekarbonos tzibur, just not both bechayim ubeshchutin. So the smicha is only ever done bechayim. It's never done on shchutin. And also b'davar sheish bo ruach chayim, b'davar shein bo ruach chayim. Also another difference is that tinufa is noheg both on the things that are that were ever a living creature, like a behema, and things that were never a living creature, like a minchas omer and a minchas sota and lachmei toda and lachmei nazir. So all of those things are menachos, and yet we have a din of tenufa. Mashen kein besmicha. You never do smicha on a korban mincha. You never lean on the lechem apanim or anything like that. It would destroy it. But you never do anything like that. So that's another difference between tenufa and smicha. So now we said the first difference is that if you have multiple shutfim in a karban, so when it comes to tenufa, one person could do tenufa on behalf of everybody, but when it comes to smicha, you can't have one person do smicha on behalf of everybody. Where do we know that from? So Tanur Rabbanan, the Braisa says, well, it's a pasuk in Parshas Vayikra. It says, v'samach yado al rosh karbano. So from the word karbano, we learn karbano l'rabos kol balei karban l'smicha, that all the balei karban that are shutfim in this karban need to do smicha, and you know, you can't get away with only one or two. It has to be everybody that's a partner in the carbon that does smicha. Sheyachol, because I might have had a hava amina, valo dinhu, that we should make the following kalvachomer, umat tenufa shenisrab subishchutin. If tenufa is more chamer, that we're mekayim, even on tenufa, even on that which is already shechted, right? That was one of the differences the Mishnah highlighted between tenufa and smicha, that we do it even on something that's already shechted. And yet, nismat b'chover, and yet you can get away with just one person doing the tenufa on behalf of everybody. So even though tenufa has this chumrah that it applies even to shechted animals, and yet we're so makel, we allow only one person, we allow for one person to do the tenufa on behalf of everybody. So smicha shlo nisrab so b'shchutin, smicha, which is so much more kal, that we don't even do smicha at all on shechted animals, we only do it on balei chayim, say in udin shetismayit b'chovrin, all the more so we should be makel and say that one person should be able to do smicha on behalf of everybody else. So tamalomar karbano. That's why the pasuk has to teach me karbano l'rabbis kol bal karban l'smicha, to tell me that there's a din that every bal karban, anyone who could say about this karbano, that this is my karban, this is his karban, has to do smicha on that karban. So ask the Gemara, okay, once I have that drasha now, once I have that pasuk of karbano, now I should flip the kal v'chomer in the other direction. V'tisrab tenufa b'chomer mikal v'chomer. Maybe we should use that as an impetus to derive that all the partners should have to do tenufa, that you can't get away with just one person doing tenufa on behalf of all the other balei karban. And we say the following kal v'chomer, umas smicha shalom nisrab b'shchutin, if smicha, which it doesn't even apply to a shechted animal, only applies to a living animal, so we see that it's so kal, and yet nisrab sabachovrin, and yet we insist that every single member, every single owner of the carbon must do the smicha. So tenufa shenisrab sabishchutin, tenufa, which we're more machmir by, that we even require it to be done on a shechted animal, enodin shenisrab sabachovrin, all the more so that all of the members of the, all of the owners of the carbon should have to do the tenufa. And you should not get away with just having one person do the tenufa. Tosfos raises the question that the Gemara could have just asked, that we should be mar b'smicha on shchutim as well, that if tenufa, which is so kal, that one person is main it for everybody, nevertheless we were machmir that it applies to shchutim, smicha, which is so chamor, that every single member of the karban, every partner of the karban has to do the smicha, alach s'kama v'kama, that we should require smicha on shchutim as well, right? I mean, you could have said the karban with the same data points, you could have said the kal v'chomer in that direction also, that we should require smicha on shechted animals. But the Tosfos doesn't answer that kasha, but he asks that kasha. Okay, but the Gemara's kasha is that we should suggest that every owner of the carbon, that all the shutfim of the carbon should have to do the tenufa based on this kal v'chomer. So says Gemara, no, we cannot suggest that. Mishum delo efshar, meaning enochinami, it's a good kal v'chomer, misva, it's glut, practically it's not going to work out. How are you going to do tenufa with all of the balei akorban? Heichi le'avid, le'avid, what are you supposed to do? Linfu kulu ba'dei adadi, you want them all to do tenufa mamish at the same time, that one of them will put his hands underneath the carbon, and the other one will put his hands underneath the hands of the other guy, kavya chatzitza, it's going to be a chatzitza, because because one guy's hands is going to be a chatzitza between the other guy's hands and the carbon that you're doing the tenufa on. So what do you want to do? You want to take turns? I'll do the tenufa, then you do the tenufa, then you do the tenufa. Tenufa merachmana velo tenufos. It says it in the singular that it's got to be a tenufa. It can't be tenufos. So there can only be one waving. You can't do it at the same time because the hands are going to be a chatzitza, and you can't do one after the other because it's got to be only one waving. So that's it's because it's a practical impossibility. So that's why we cannot follow that kal v'chomer to the end. Now Rashi raises a question. We do find by tenufa of chelev and the chaza of the shlamim that the kohen is maniach yado tachas yad abaylim and they do the tenufa together. The kohen and the baylim do the tenufa together. So why don't we say over there that the yad baylim is a chatzitza between the Yad Kohen and the Karban, meaning if the Kohen and the Bailim both need to be doing the Tanuf at the same time. So Rashi and the Ksav Yad raises the question, what happened to the problem of Chatzitza? He says, V'ikosha ha'amrin and Kohen maniach yadu tachas yad ha'bailim amein v'avi yad bailim chatzitza. So Rashi Ksav Yad says, lo ichbat lan mishum de'ikr tenufa be'bailim k'duchsiv nasan al-kapeh ha'nazir. Really, the ikr tenufa is done by the Bailim. It's not really done by the Kohen. The Kohen just has like a secondary role. So it's not a problem for the Kohen to have a chatzitza between his hand and the carbon. Tosos, however, back on Daf Samach Aleph and Beis, writes that the Kohen does not actually put his hands underneath the Yad HaBailim. The Bailim holds on to the side of the Kli, and the Kohen holds the bottom of the Kli. So they're holding on different parts of the Kli, and then together they do the Tenufa. So Tosos asks, on Rashi in our Sugya, where does Rashi get this idea that there's no Kpeda, that there be a chatzitza between the Yad Kohen, meaning Manavshach, if the Kohen is doing the tenufa, so he's got to do the tenufa, and there should be a problem of chatzitza. And if you can tell me there's not a problem of chatzitza because he's not really playing a role, so then what's he doing? Well, why is he even bothering with this tenufa? So Tosfos is bothered. Where does Rashi pull this from, that the Kohen is not going to have a problem of the chatzitza? So the Malbim, in his commentary on Parshas Tzav, is Miyashiv Rashi. He says, you'll notice a subtle difference between the way the Torah describes the tenufa of the Kohen and the way the Torah describes the tenufa of the Bailim. Torah describes both of them, so they do both need to do the tenufa. But by the Kohen it says Vehenef HaKohen, that the Kohen has to do the tenufa. By the Bailim it says Yadav Tiviena, that his hands need to bring it. So Yadav Tiviena sounds like his hands need to be on the Kli, it needs to be on the Karban. Whereas by the Kohen, Henef HaKohen, there's no din of Yadav. There's no din that his hands have to be in direct contact. So that's why there's not a problem of chatzitza. That's how he justifies Rashi. Now the Gemara Masechta Sukkah says that when it comes to the dinim of chatzitza, there's a rule that min bimino eino chotzeitz. So when you have two like kinds, they're not chotzeitz. They don't generate a chatzitza. So the Nesivas HaKodesh, she says, wait a second. Why don't we say that yad chavero is min bimino, and therefore it's not a chatzitza? So he says no, because there is a din that by kachim that you have to be mekayim the pasuk as it is written, and since it says yadav to Vienna, it needs to be biyadav mamish. That's what the Nesivas HaKodesh says, that dafka by kachim you need to be mekayim pshuto shel mikra. Now outside of kachim there's also an inyan of being mekayim pshuto shel mikra. We do find a lot of examples in halacha where we do things just to be mekayim the pshuto shel mikra that are not really, I think the Ramah quotes a minute of standing during kriyas haTorah. Why? Because the Gemara in Sota talks about a pasuk that says Amida, relating to Kriyas HaTorah, that everyone is omeid. Omeid in that context doesn't mean standing up, it means stopping, it means not doing anything else. But we try to be mekayim pshuto shel mikra. But there's no halachic requirement to be mekayim pshuto shel mikra. By kachim, says in the Sivus HaKadosh, we have to be mekayim pshuto shel mikra. So therefore, even though eino chidami min bemino eino chotzeit, so it's not a real chatzitza, but it's also not yadav. It's also not directly the fulfillment of the pshuto shel mikra. It's an interesting question of exactly when do we say min bemino eino chotzeit, when do we not say min bemino. in general, with the din of chatzitza, there's a basic chakira that the achronim have as to why it is, let's say, by a mikveh, when a woman goes to, that's where we normally talk about chatzitza, when a woman goes to the mikveh and there's a chatzitza, so why is it that the tevila is invalid? So the chakira that the achronim have is it that there was no tevila, meaning it's not a bias mayim, it's ki'ilu, shouldn't go into the water, it's like going into the water and leaving your arm out of the water, that there was a lack of bias mayim, or is it no? There was a bias mayim, but there was a psul in the tevila. There was a tevila, but there was a psul in the tevila. Rav Moshe even has a tshuva where he suggests that there's a difference between a chatzitza bebeis astarim versus a chatzitza on the exposed part of the body. He said if there's a chatzitza on the exposed part of the body, she finds a chatzitza on her arm, on her back, something like that. So then it's a lack of bias mayim. Whereas a chatzitza in the beis astarim, no, you for sure had a bias mayim, but the chatzitza is a psul in the tevila. It has to be that way in the Beis HaStarim at least, because by Beis HaStarim you don't need Bias Mayim. So you can't say it's a lack of Bias Mayim. Every time the Beis HaStarim is a lack of Bias Mayim. So the reason a woman has to brush her teeth and floss her teeth because of a chatzitza is not because it's going to be a lack of Bias Mayim. Of course you're not going to have Bias Mayim. She doesn't open her mouth in the mikveh. But it's obvious. So Rav Moshe says, Chaps Naf Kamina, the halacha is in Shulchan Aruch that if a if a woman goes to the mikveh and didn't do any sort of preparation, not even looking over her body, just take a look, see if there's a chatzitza. Halacha in Shulchan Aruch is even if afterwards she sees no signs of any chatzitza, got to go again. The tevila is invalid. You need to be ma'ayin begufa mita oraisa. At the very least, ma'ayin begufa. We do a lot more than that. We comb the hair and medicha beis kamata b'mayim, rinsing the body, you know, with water and things. We do a lot more than that. But at the very least, there needs to be ma'ayin begufa. Otherwise, it passes the tevila. What if she was not ma'ayin bebeis hasarim? She never looked in her mouth before going to the mikveh. So then Rav Moshe says the tevila would be valid if she doesn't find any evidence of a chatzitza afterwards. Why? So he explains very beautifully. He says because the problem of a chatzitza on the body, on the external part of the body, is a lack of bias mayim. There was never a tevila. So when I'm choshesh that there might never have been a tevila, because there might have been a chatzitza there, even though I don't have any evidence of it, so then you can't say that she's tahora. But when I know that there was a tevila, I just have a suffix. Was there a psul in the tevila? Was there something external that caused the psul? You don't have to assume an external psul when the basis, when the foundation is that there was a tevila. But that discussion of is it a lack of bias mayim? So what is the nature of chatzitza? Chatzitza is normally that we assume that it's not something is not batal to the guf. But otherwise, something that's not a chatzitza, we would assume it's considered batal to the guf. So for example, mida oraisa, a miut hamakbid is not a chatzitza. Something that's on the small part of the body, but your makbid about on a daraisa level is not a chatzitza. On a drabanan level is a chatzitza. Mida oraisa, why is it not a chatzitza? So some suggest it because it's batal to the body. It becomes part of the body. Can you say that about somebody else's body? Meaning if somebody else's hand is on your shoulder when you go to the mikveh, you're going to say that, it's a valid tevila mida oraisa because it's batal to my body. Someone else's body can't be batel to my body, right? That would only work on. So the idea of someone else's hand being a chatzitza, l'chora, it's hard to say min b'mino eino chotzeitz, because min b'mino eino chotzeitz is saying that, it's just, it's batel to my hand, because it's the same as my hand. But it's not the same as my hand, it's his hand, meaning it has its own independent identity. So it's very hard to say that it becomes batel to the body. Anyway, so let's see weiter. So says the Gemara, the Gemara asks, is it really the no smicha? Is it true that we don't do smicha on shechted animals, on animals that are already dead? I'll tell you a Mishnah Maseches Tamid that tells me that we do smicha on dead animals. Bizman Shekohen Gadol Rotzeh Lahaktir, if the Kohen Gadol chooses to be maktir the Karban Tamid, because he has the right to do that, he's the Kohen Gadol, Hayo Ola Bekevesh, Vaskan Biyamino, he goes up the ramp with the skan on his on his right side, meaning that's the derech hashivos, that chashva people walk with people accompanying them, with people flanking them. It seems based on the way gedolim walk into rooms now, also holding their hands. That's the thing you see. But Shechta doesn't do that, but okay. So hayaola bekevesh v'askan b'yamino, the skan is on his right side. He gil lemachsa kevesh, he gets to halfway up the ramp. Achas Sagan b'yamino, v'hello. So the Sagan holds his hand and helps him go up. Meaning the rest of it, it's exhausting to go up a ramp. To go it's v'hoshelo arishon, the first of the several Kohanim, 11 Kohanim that were osik in the Karban Tamid, would take harosh v'aregel, the head and the foreleg of the Karban Tamid, and somech aleihem, the Kohen Gadol would do smicha on the Rosh and the Regel. This is a decapitated Rosh and Regel. It's already butchered. The whole animal, it's obviously dead. Vizorkan, and then he would throw it on the Maracha to burn it. Hoshet Hasheni L'Rishon, then the second Kohen involved in the Hakrava would give to the first Kohen, Shtei Adayim, the Regel was a hind leg, I said a foreleg, but Shtei Adayim, the two forelegs of the animal, Nosel Kohen Gadol, he would give it to the Kohen Gadol, because the way to show cover to the Kohen Gadol is not just if you have multiple Kohen, and one guy gives to the next, and the next to him, so you would give it to the Kohen Gadol, and Somech Aleim, you would do Smicha on the two Yadayim, Vizorkan, and then he would throw them on the Maracha. Nishmat Hasheni v'halachlo, the second guy would then leave. V'kachayu moshitin lo shar kalei varim, and all the other kohanim would do the same thing. They would pass it to the first kohen, the kohen to the kohen gadol, and he would do smicha somich aleim v'zorkan. He would do smicha them and throw him on the maracha. Ubizman shu rotze hu somich v'achirim zorkin. And it was heavy to throw these limbs around, so he would do the smicha, and they would have a young, stronger kohen go and do the zrika onto the maracha. But bottom line is, you see, they were doing smicha on dead animals. So it says, Amar Abaye, Hasum Shem Kvod to Kohen Gadol. That's not a real smicha. That was a takana midrabanan, meaning there's no pasuk that says that you're supposed to do that smicha. That was done in order to honor the Kohen Gadol. How's it in honor of the Kohen Gadol? So some of the Rishonim say, because it makes it look like he was the one that's being makriv all of the parts of the Karban by taking a more active participation in the Karban, or to show that his haktaro, when he's makdir something, he does more than a typical person who's mocked or something. That typically when people are mad, that's what Rashi Ksaviad writes, that when the normal people, he writes, Toras Haktarasu Mu'ulu Mishar Haktaras Tashar Kohanim, that his Haktar is a different level Haktara than all the other Kohanim. And with that, we say goodbye to Rashi Ksaviad, Hadron Lach Shtei Midos, and now we move on to the 11th parak of Maseches Menachos. So Shtei Alechem, when they would prepare the Shtei Alechem for Shavuos, so niloshos achas achas, they would knead the dough one loaf at a time. They would take an isarun of flour for one lechem, and then another isarun of flour for the second lechem. They wouldn't do both esronim at the same time. V'ne'afos achas achas, and they would be baked one at a time. And so only after they removed one dough from the oven would they put the other dough into the oven. Now the word lechem, it's just interesting. Is it shtei halechem or shnei halechem? Why is it shtei halechem, right? We always know it as shtei halechem, but is the word lechem a lashon zachar or a lashon nekeva? So it's an androgynous word. It's a word that can be used both lashon zachar and nekeva, and it's not only mishnayis, it's a mishnayis and a tanach. Tosos points this out, right? This is the first Tosos in the Perek. Tosos points out, b'mishnah ubimikra, kari lashon zachar v'lashon nekeva. Tahach etnan shtei halechem, ubishmol ksiv kabishol v'nasun lecha shtei halechem lekachtem yadam, ule'el perek ve'elu menachos, kari le lashon zachar, tekamer b'ba milechem gadol, milechem gadol. So you see, it's a zachar, ksiv v'lo yechsar lachmo, and it says lo yechsar lachmo. So you see that it's both a lashon nekeva and a lashon zachar. Tos Yontov points out that he's not moved by lo yechsar lachmo. That doesn't seem to be a raya, because the lashon zachar is going on the guy, not on the lechem. But he says, but we do find that a lechem is a lashon zachar in the Chumash in Parshas Bamidbar. A lechem atamid a lav yiyeh, and other pesukim as well. So you do have these funny words sometimes that are neither zachar nor nekeva, or both zachar and nekeva, depending on context. So okay, we call it shtei lechem. So they're kneaded one at a time, and they are baked one at a time. Minchas Chinuch says, and therefore you're not allowed to bake the two of them together, but you are allowed to have other things in the oven while you're baking each one of them. You're just not allowed to bake the two of them together. In the Taras HaKodesh, says Nefes Achas doesn't mean that that you're not allowed to bake the two of them together. It means you don't need to bake the two of them together. That you're allowed to bake you're allowed to bake them one at a time. There's no chiyuv to be to bake them together. But if you want Gesundheit, you can go ahead and do that. So it would turn out that even though the Lisha and the Afia are done one at a time, but there's a chilik between them, because the Lisha, you have to do one at a time. You have to have one Isarin of flour exactly for a Lisha of one loaf, and another Isarin exactly for a Lisha of the other loaf. Whereas by the baking, when we say you do it one at a time, it doesn't mean that it must be. It means it can be one at a time. So that's a Chiddush that the Taras HaKodesh has, that it's inconsistent when we say Nilosho Sachas Achas versus Nefo Sachas Achas, which may be why they're split. Why don't we just say Niloshos Binefos Achas Achas, right? So it could be that because they're different dinim. Lechem HaPanim, the Lechem HaPanim, which is 12 loaves that you have every single week, nilosho sachas achas, they are kneaded one at a time, v'nefo shtayim shtayim, but you bake them two at a time in the oven. The Sfasemis isn't sure. Does the Mishnah mean that it has to be dafka two at a time and not more, or it has to be minimally two at a time? But if you want to bake six at a time, that's good as well, because the Rambam writes in the Perush HaMishnayos that all these malachos, that a Kabbalah exactly how to do them, so it could be that the Kabbalah is to do exactly two and not more than two. However, the Minchas Chinuch writes in Mitzvah Tzadi Zayin that Hu Adin, that they're allowed to bake more than two. It means minimally you got to do two at a time, that you cannot do one at a time like you could do with the Shtei Lechem of Shavuos. And then Ubidufus Haya Osa Osan, the Lechem HaPanim had a mold that would shape them. Kishu Rodan, when they would take them off of the oven, Nosan Lidufus, they would put it into the mold, Kadesh Leiskalkalu, so that the shape wouldn't be ruined, because it was a precarious shape. It was not a very sturdy shape of the lechem. So they would have to put it into a mold in order to maintain its structure of the lechem. The Tosos in Dibra Maskel Ukishahu says that these defusim of the lechem were there until they put them on the shulchan on Shabbos. But al gabi the shulchan, they definitely had to put the lechem directly without any defus. The Tosos says that the defus that the lechem was put in up until the time you were masadur on the shulchan is what the Torah refers to as ka'arosav. The Torah says the ka'arosav legabe the shulchan. So that might be what it's referring to. So minani mili, how do I know first in the Mishnah that the shtei lechem were kneaded one at a time and baked one at a time, whereas the lechem apanim kneaded one at a time but baked two at a time? Titan Rabbanan, because the Braisa says, it says in the pasuk when it comes to lechem apanim that shnei esronim yia hachala ha'echas. So from the fact that it tells us how much flour for one chala, melamish in nilosho sachas achas, so it must be that you need it one at a time. Minayin shaf shtei lechem kach, how do I know that shtei lechem are also kneaded one at a time? Tamalomar yihiyeh, the havaya should take place again with another lechem, that the shtei lechem also should be achas achas, that it's not only by the lechem apanim that we have such a din. Yihiyeh tells me whatever happens here happens somewhere else, and that is by the shtei lechem. Uminayin shaf yasin shtayim shtayim, how do I know the baking of the lechem apanim is two at a time? Tamalomar v'samta osam, that the placement that the kohen does of the chalos into the oven is osam. Osam is plural, so that's how I know it's got got to be two at a time. So that's what we mentioned before, the suffix that the Achronim have. Two at a time, or just more than one at a time, but it could also be five, six, seven, whatever. So osam just means plural. So it sounds like it's anything more than one is fine. The only tzad to say the other way is that they had a mesorah of how to do things, and maybe the mesorah was specifically to do two at a time. So yachalav shtei alechem kein. You might think to put both shtei alechem in the oven at the same time. Tamalomer osam. That's why it says osam v'samta osam by the lechem apanim, but not the shtei alechem. So it says when how many different limudim can you have from one word? You learn from osam that you put two at a time by the lechem apadim, and you can learn from osam that you don't put two at a time by the shtei alechem. So it says, well, yeah, because im kein lemakra visamtam. If it, there's an, you could have turned those two words into one word and not wasted the letters. So it could have said visamtam. My visamta osam shaminatarti. It must be that there are two drushes to be made. Drush number one, that the lechem apadim is baked two at a time. Drush number two, that only the lechem apanim is baked two at a time, but the shtei alechem is baked only one at a time. Okay, now how many molds were there for the lechem apanim? Tanu rabbanan v'samta osam. The it sounds like bidufus, that there was some sort of mold that shaped it that you would put it into. Ushlosha defusin heim. There were three defusim for the lechem apanim. The Rambam writes in Hilchos Tamidin Musafim that all of them were made out of gold. Rashi on Chumash says that the defus that it was baked in was made out of barzel. It was only after they baked it that they put it into a defus made out of gold. So Minchas Chinuch just wonders, where did Rashi know to be mechalik between the defus that they baked it in versus the defus that they would put it in afterwards, that they're made out of different things? So in the Be'er HaSada, he suggests that Rashi knows it misvara, because gold gets ruined in an oven. You're going to put it in the oven, it's going to become misshapen, it's going to become, so just like Yom Kippur, they didn't shovel the coals with gold, because the gold would get ruined by the gechalim. So the Torah chasal lemonim shel Yisrael. So we're not going to have you use gold in a way that the gold is going to get ruined. So Rashi says misvara, that in the oven it was barzel, and then after you took it out of the oven, it was gold. So nosal the defus v'adayin hi batzek. They would the defus that they would first arrange it in was while it was still dough. Ukamin defus hayila betanur, and there was the lechem was put in when it was baking in the tanur, also it had a type of mold. Ukshu roda, and then when you take it out of the tanur, nosna b'dfus kadesh lo tiskalkel. You'd put it into another mold so that it doesn't get ruined. So v'lahadul dfus kama, why do you put it into a third mold? Why can't you just put it into the mold that you had put it into while it was still dough? So it says, markivin da'afi lo nafcha. No, because once you bake it, it swells a little bit. And if the bread swells a little bit, so then it's not going to fit into that original mold. This is a raya. The Rishonim aren't sure what the defus looked like. Was it a mold on the outside of the bread, or is it a mold on the inside of the bread that the bread was shaped around the mold? So certainly the one in the tanur seems like it has to be on the inside of the bread, because that's where the bread would swell while it was baking. If it was in a mold, it wouldn't swell. So the fact that it must have been that there was a mold inside of it to keep the hollow area on the inside, and it would swell around it. Also, the lechem has to be directly on the tanur lechora, because redias hapas, that's what Tosa says, that redias hapas implies that the lechem is directly touching, that the dough is directly touching the tanur. If it was in a baking pan, then it's not directly touching a tanur. This gemara is used as a raya in the halachas of baking matzah. There is a chumra that the Rama has in Hilchas Matzah, in Hilchas Pesach, that matzah that's nefucha be'emtzi'isa, that swells a little bit in the middle, is no good. It's usher to use on Pesach. So the Achronim point out, the lechem apanim, the Gemara is assuming, was nefucha. The Gemara assumes that it swelled, and lechem apanim was certainly matzah. Okay, lechem apanim was also a tefach tall, and we don't do that with our matzahs either. But okay, so says the Gemara now, itmar, fundamental machlokas, lechem apanim ketzer osin oso. What was the shape of the lechem apanim? So Rabbi Chanina amar kemin teva prutza. It's like an open box, a flat bottom and two walls, and it's like open at the top. So an open box. So Rabbi Yochanan Amar Kamin Svina Rokedes. No, it was shaped like a boat, where it's narrow at the end, widens in the middle, narrows at the end, and also on the bottom of the boat, it comes down to a point at the bottom of the boat. So that's what it looked like. It couldn't possibly stand on its own. It would just tip over, right? It was a Kamin Svina Rokedes. So it says, well, let's bring Rayas. Which one is correct? So first we're going to have three Rayas, three questions on the opinion that it was shaped like a boat. Rayas that it must have been like a box. Bishlam Mandi Amar Kamin Teva Prutza Ayin said, very well, if you assume that it was shaped like an open box, Hainu Davi Yasvi Bezichin. Now I know where the Bezichei Levona went, that the Bezichei Levona were able to sit on the Lechem Apanim, because it was flat. Elamandi Amar, but according to Rabbi Yochanan, who holds that it's Kamin Svina Rokedes, that it was like this fast boat, Hechi Avi Yasvi Bezichin, how did the Bezichin sit on the Lechem? The bottom of the Lechem is not straight, so you can't put the Bezichin on it. So it says Gemara, Makom Avadu, they hollowed out a flat area on the inside of the Lechem, where the Bezichin Levona can rest. So that's how the shape on the outside was, that it came to a point, and it came on both ends to a point, but on the inside it could be that it was flat. So says Gemara, okay, we'll bring another question. Bishlam Leman Yamar Kamin Teva Prutza. I understand very well if you can say that it was like an open box. Hainu Davi Yasvi Kadim. So now I understand where the rods that they would use to put on top of the Lechem Apanim to separate from one Lechem Apanim from the one on top of it. They didn't just pile them on top of each other, because then they would get moldy. You have to have air that goes in between them. So they put these rods in between them to allow for airflow in between the Lechem Apanim. So I see you could put the rods over a flat open box, and you could just rest them across the top. If it's Kamin Svina Rokedes, I could see where the middle rod would go. It goes right over the middle of the boat, but the side of the boat is narrow. So you're going to put a rod, it will teeter and it will fall off. Where exactly would they put these rods? So says Gemara, amazing chiddush, that Morsha Avadu, that they must have added extra dough in a straight line onto the sides of the boat-shaped Lechem Apanim. So it was even a weirder shape than you think, meaning it looked like a boat with two flat walls attached to the side of Lechem Apanim, just to rest the rods of the, and those flat walls were dough, that was part of the Lechem, just to rest the rods on the sides of those side walls of the Lechem Apanim. Bishlam, the Mandi Amar, third kasha, Kamin Teva Prutza. I understand very well if you assume that it was like an open box. Hainu Desamchele Snifin LaLechem. We described that there were snifim, there were things that were there to support the Lechem. So I understand that you could have these straight boards that would support the Lechem, because the Lechem goes flush against these straight boards all the way up. So it makes sense that you'd have such a thing. El Mandi Amar Kamin Svina Rokedes. But if you hold that it wasn't straight, the whole thing was came to a narrow tip on all sides. Hechi samchul snifim lechem. What are straight boards going to do to support the lechem, to prevent them from breaking? The snifim are only touching a tiny edge of the lechem, because when it's at its widest point, it comes to a point. So it doesn't have, what's not going to do much to prevent the lechem upon it from breaking. So says Mar da'agulu miyagam. No, the snifim were not straight boards. They curved at the bottom to provide support for the lechem upanim. So the lechem upanim would fit into these bowl-shaped snifim that they curved at the bottom to support the lechem upanim. So now the Gemara says, okay, let's turn it around the other way. Bishlam nandemar kamin svina rokedes. I understand very well if you assume it's like a fast boat, hainu debin and snifim. Now I understand what the snifim were, what they needed the snifim for, because otherwise it was going to fall to pieces. El mandemar kamin teva prutza. If it was just like an open box, snifim lamali, what do you even need the snifim for? Why do I need to support it? It looks like pretty stable. It's a box. So boxes stand on their own. Why does it need support? Says Mar Agav Yukra Delechem Talach. No, because it was very heavy. So you'd have heavy, the bottom one would have these heavy loaves on top of it, so it would crush it. So in order to prevent it from crushing it, you needed these snifim. So Bishlam, Man Yamar Kamin Svina Rokedes. I understand, according to the opinion, that it was a Svina Rokedes, that it was like a boat, snifim al gabe shulchan munachim. So the snifim were placed on the table, on the shulchan itself, because the part of the lechem that touched the shulchan was very narrow. So there was space on the shulchan for the snifim to also go on the shulchan. El Man Yamar Kamin Teva Prutza. But if it was a flat bottom, bottom, if it was a teva prutza, snifim heicha manuchlu, where did they put these snifim? How was there any space on the table for the snifim? So it says Gemara, ara manuchlu. They put it on the karka. They put those snifim on the ground, not on the shulchan at all. So ara manuchlu. Did they put them on the ground? Says Gemara, in yes, that's exactly what they did. Tam Rabbi Abar Mama, the divrei Omer commits svinu rokeda snifim al gabi shulchan munachin. That depended which opinion you held, like where these snifim went. Did they go on the shulchan? If there was space, yes. And if you held that it was a teva prutza, they went on the ground. Which opinion is Rav Yehuda following when he says that they were mutually supportive of each other, the snifim and the lechem? The lechem couldn't stand on its own, and the snifim couldn't stand on their own. They only stood because they were like when you make things like a teepee, you know, where it's each one supports the other, they're able to hold together. So command yam commit svina rokedes. That makes a lot of sense if you assume it was like a svina rokedes, because then it has no structural integrity and it wouldn't be able to support itself. Okay, we'll stop there. We'll pick up with Meisve, continuing this discussion of the shape of the lechem apanim. Tomorrow. Everyone have a great day.